This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page 109, which is in the 6th juz, Surah Al-Ma'idah. In the previous episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us a number of instructions and commandments. From amongst them was the commandment of purification when we wish to pray and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. And Allah azza wa jal highlighted to us and emphasized to us the different types of purification that we may need depending on the circumstance that we're in. So for example, we have wudu, which is for minor ritual impurity. And then we have ghusl, which is for major ritual impurity. And then we have a concession in the case of the absence of water or the inability to use water, and that is called tayammum. And that is all from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as we said, it also shows to us a very important principle of this religion, and that is that Allah azza wa jal wants the believers to be people of purity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. Allah loves the people of purity. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the believer to be someone who is clean, someone who is smelling good, someone who presents themselves in a good way, without going to extremes, because there are always extremes in these issues. One extreme is that a person doesn't care about their personal hygiene, they don't care about the way that they smell, they don't bathe often, they don't wear clean clothes. That's one extreme. But the other extreme are those people who spend all of their waking hours concerned about their appearance. And mostly those people that do that, it's because they want to impress others, not that they want to impress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're impressing others, so they're there taking hours on their appearance, in the way that they look, and in the way that they will dress, and in the way that they will appear. And they go to extremes in that regard. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like that else either. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes used to say to the companions, you should walk barefooted. Why? Because it humbles you. Someone that doesn't wear shoes humbles you. And the companions used to say that the Prophet ﷺ would comb his hair on days and leave his hair on other days. And that's because if it's not, especially hair, that if it's left for a day, doesn't become extremely unkempt, that it's something which you can get away, it's okay, then that's something which the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't go to extremes in. Because people can go to extremes in all of these issues. The point here being is that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to be people of cleanliness and purity and good appearance, but without going to the extremes that sometimes you unfortunately see. And also from the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal that we mentioned in the previous episode was the command of justice, that we should be people of integrity and fairness, even if it goes against us, or even if the people that we're judging concerning are people that we don't have the greatest level of love and affection for. And that is because that justice in that particular situation, it is from the signs of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are just because, not that you want to impress that person, you have no benefit from that person. There's no connection between you and them. In fact, the connection between you and them is one of animosity and ill feeling for whatever reason. But you do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please your Lord and Creator, Jalla fi'ula. So today we continue from verse number 11. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ هم قوم أن يبسطوا إليكم أيديهم فكف أيديهم عنكم واتقوا الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون.
Oh, you who believe, remember Allah's blessing on you when a certain people were about to raise their hands against you and He restrained them. Be mindful of Allah, let the believers put their trust in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds here the believers who predominantly are at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Allah azza wa jalla reminds them of one of His great favors upon them and one of the great blessings that He bestowed upon them, and that is that Allah azza wa jalla says, remember Allah's blessing on you when as certain people were about to raise their hands against you, and he restrained them. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the believers from their enemies. That there were certain times and occasions in which they could have overpowered the believers because they were greater in number, greater in terms of their strength, in terms of their armor and their weapons, in terms of their manpower, in terms of all of those things that an army would conventionally need in order to defeat another army or to defeat another group of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had He willed, they could have defeated the believers. So for example, on the day of the Battle of Badr, as we know, the army of the non-Muslims of the people of Quraysh outnumbered the Muslims 3-1 approximately. And so therefore, in terms of number, they vastly outnumbered the Muslims. In terms of equipment, in terms of their weaponry, in terms of their armor, in terms of the animals that they had, the riding animals for war that they had, they also vastly outnumbered the Muslims. In terms, they were better equipped, better able to defend themselves, better able to attack because of the weaponry that they had. And the Muslims had very little in that regard. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, from His blessings, is that He stopped those people, for example, on that day from harming the Muslims. Because had Allah willed, it could have been that case. And likewise, for example, in the Battle of the Trench, Al-Khandaq, or the Battle of Ahzab, as is also known, which is when the confederation of the armies of the non-Muslims and the polytheists came and converged upon the city of Medina in order to attack the Muslims. So you had the Quraysh and some of the premier major tribes of Arabia, all of them coming together, all of them as a single army, even though they're different people, different nations, different communities, different tribes, but they're coming together for a single purpose. And that was to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims in Medina. And had Allah Azza wa Jalla willed, that also could have been something which was extremely detrimental to the believers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the believers, and Allah Azza wa Jalla inspired them, as we know from the story of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. He gave them the inspiration to dig a wide trench between themselves and the enemy as they approached the city of Medina. That is from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Battle of Tabuk, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to fight the Romans, the Byzantines, and the Byzantines are the superpower of that region alongside the Persians. These aren't just a group of Arab tribes. These aren't just people who are tribal leaders or tribal nomads. These are people who have an actual army. These are people who have a disciplined army. They are people who have conquered different parts of the world. They're people who fight with other superpowers. But in the Battle of Tabuk, they run away and flee from the Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on how many occasions does Allah Azza wa Jal prevent harm from befalling the Muslims? إِذْ هَمَّ قَوْمٌ أَن يَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ فَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ. When a certain people were about to raise their hands against you, and he restrained them. And the scholars of tafsir will give all of these different examples that I have mentioned and others, but the general meaning is, and it includes and encompasses all of them, that it is from Allah's blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the Muslims from a great deal of hardship. And that is from the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. And that is something which we can apply to our own lives, because how do we know of how many things that could have come upon our path each and every single day to harm us, and Allah Azza wa Jalla sends it away from us? Either because He takes us down a different path, or He takes that thing down a different path, and so we miss one another. How many times does Allah Azza wa Jalla make things easy for you? And all of us have been in those near misses. For example, when we're driving or when we're walking, something very simple that Allah Azza wa Jalla makes easy for us and takes it away. And those are the things that we can see, that we witness, that we experience firsthand. Only Allah knows the unhidden things, the unseen things that you will never know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy made go away from you, that He diverted from your path. And that is why when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His divine aid and protection, when you beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you ask for His help subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal is blessing you with those things. Allah Azza wa Jal is giving to you those things and you don't even notice. And that is why, as the scholars said, and it's mentioned in some narrations as well, that when a person makes dua, Allah Azza wa Jal answers in one of three ways. Number one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you what you asked for. You asked for wealth, Allah gave you wealth. You asked for a child, Allah gave you a child. You asked for a career, Allah gave you a career. That's the first way. The second way is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give it to you, but He gives you something similar to it that is better for you, or wards off some harm from you that otherwise would have befallen you. So now you want, for example, money, but Allah Azza wa Jalla withholds it from you because He knows that money will corrupt you. So therefore, He withholds it from you. Or He wards off some calamity that was going to befall you because of the dua that you're making. That's the second way. And so how many times you're making dua and asking Allah Azza wa Jal for things and you don't necessarily see what you're asking for, but many of those unhidden many of those hidden and unseen calamities that could have and would have befallen you, Allah Azza wa Jal diverted them away from your path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them leave you. Or the third way is that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you its full reward instead on the day of judgment on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that is why when Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that He answers our du'as and He commands us to make du'a to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is something that we should take extremely seriously. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is granting us from his bounty and from His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise here, Allah Azza wa Jal help the believers by warding off the harm of the disbelievers from them and restraining their hands against them. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ and fear Allah, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ and let the believers put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is the beauty of dua. When you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you beseech Allah Azza wa Jal, you supplicate to Him, you are trusting your affairs to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala with the conviction and the certainty that Allah knows what is best. And therefore, if despite your hard dua or your constant dua and your sincere dua and your beseeching of Allah Azza wa Jal so many times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still doesn't give you what you ask for, know for surety that Allah Azza wa Jal knows that it's not good for you, or there is some harm in that for you. And Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want that harm to come from you, to come to you, because of His love for you subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Umar radiallahu anhu, the famous Khalifa and companion, used to say, "My job is only to make dua. As for the answer, I leave it to Allah. I don't preoccupy myself with it." Because the process of making dua is ibadah. And that is what you are getting rewarded for. The result is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. The result is something which Allah does. Allah gives to whomsoever He pleases subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what are you doing that you get rewarded for is making dua. And sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal, when we make dua, He delays the response. Because if Allah Azza wa Jal was to answer immediately every time we made dua, then we'd stop making dua. If you ask Allah for money today and Allah gives it to you tomorrow, then you're not going to make dua for money again because you've got enough money. Allah made you rich. You asked for a child and Allah gives you a child. You don't want another child, you stop making dua. Whereas the person who takes them a number of years in order to gain that wealth, a number of years in order to gain that child, what are they doing for those period of years? They're constantly making dua. They're crying before Allah. They're begging Allah Azza wa Jal. They're supplicating to Him by morning and by night. They're supplicating to Him at this time and at that time, constantly mindful of this issue and constantly asking Allah Azza wa Jal of it. And so as a result, they're building up their good deeds. As a result, they're building up their reward because of this act of worship of dua. The point is that this is something which is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should be mindful of. In verse number 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about Bani Israel and He says, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمُ 12 نَقِيبًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ لَئِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ فَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Allah took a pledge from the children of Israel. We made 12 leaders arise among them, and Allah said to them, "I am with you if you keep up the prayer, pay the zakah, believe in my messengers and support them, and lend to Allah a goodly loan. I will wipe out your sins and admit you into gardens graced with flowing streams, and any of you who now ignore this pledge will be far from the right path." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned before, this surah is a surah that speaks about the importance of the pledges and covenants that we have taken and made. And from the greatest of those pledges and covenants is the one that we made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we would worship Him alone, Jalla fi'ula. Allah Azza wa Jalla in this surah will mention how some of the previous nations took those pledges and they broke them. They took pledges with Allah Azza wa Jalla of obedience and worship, and they broke those pledges. And that is a result or a reminder to us rather, that we should be conscious of this issue of breaking our pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because to break the pledge with Allah Azza wa Jalla is to break your contract with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will incur a great deal of misery and punishment and sin. Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, "And remember, when we took the pledge from Bani Israel. وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمُ اثْنَي عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا. And we made 12 leaders arise from amongst them. And that is because the tribes of Bani Israel were 12. 12 tribes of Bani Israel. So each one of them has a naqib. A naqib is a leader, a representative. These are the people that are representatives. Even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, amongst the Muhajirin and the Ansar, they would have nuqaba. These nuqaba or naqibs are their representatives. Each clan, each family has a representative, because there may be 100 people in the family. How are we going to know the opinion of every single one of them? We don't know. And it's not our position to go to each and every single person now and ask them their individual position. So what you have then are representatives, the leaders of the family. The leader of the family, the leader of the clan, the leader of the tribe. These are naqibs. And that is what they used to do. Even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the representatives. It makes it easy for the ruler then to go and to speak to these people, and they in turn speak to the various members of their tribe or family or clan. So likewise, Bani Israel had these 12 leaders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, I will be with you. I will give to you my protection, my aid, my blessings, my mercy. This is a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal has made a covenant with us as the Muslims, Allah will be with us. Allah will help you. Allah will honor you. Allah will bless you. Allah will give you everything that you need in this life, and Allah will honor you with even more on Yawm al-Qiyamah. However, the example, the condition is, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions here, لَإِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So long as you pray. وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةِ. And you give the zakah. وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي. And you believe in the messengers, meaning you have iman. وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ. And you support them, meaning the messengers. وَقَرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. And you give to Allah a goodly loan. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, therefore, that it's not just about you making the claim that you're a believer, making the claim that you're a Muslim, making the claim that you want Allah Azza wa Jalla's help and His divine aid and protection, but rather what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from you is the truthfulness of that in your deeds, in your intention, in your words, in your speech. So you must give the salah, perform the salah and give the zakah, because those are the two major pillars of this religion. The salah and the zakah. And the people who preserve these two are people who are more than likely, or who are then more likely to preserve other parts and elements of the religion. Because these elements of salah and zakah show that a person is serious in terms of this covenant that they have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the issue of iman is also important, that you believe in all of the messengers. And that would include in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for Bani Israel, that they believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Not only that you help them, or that you believe in them, وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ, that you help them, that you give them their right of respect and reverence and obedience, that you help them and that you support them. وَقَرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, and you give to Allah a goodly loan. What is the goodly loan? The goodly loan to Allah Azza wa Jal is sadaqah, to give extra charity. Zakah is the obligatory charity that you must give. Sadaqah is the optional charity that you should give. And Allah Azza wa Jal calls that a goodly loan. It is a goodly loan because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply for you your reward. So usually in the dunya, if that was to take place, it would be a form of riba. If I was to give you 10 pounds and ask you to give me 15 back, that would be called riba. It's usually, and it's not allowed. But when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, that is something which is a goodly loan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving you money back necessarily. He's giving you something far greater and far better in terms of reward. And so Allah Azza wa Jal calls that a goodly loan. And elsewhere in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal asks or commands the believers and says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who is there that will give to Allah a goodly loan? Meaning they will spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is any type of sadaqah that you give, whether it's sadaqah to the poor or the needy, or the sadaqah that you give of any type or form, that is all a goodly loan for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you do all of that to Bani Israel, so you want Allah's help, these are the conditions: pray, give zakah, believe in Allah and His messengers, support them, give to Allah a goodly loan, meaning do extra acts of worship, not just the obligations, do extra acts of worship. If you do that, then you have fulfilled your pledge and covenant. If you fulfill the pledge and covenant, what do you get in return? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. I will forgive you for all of your sins. What an amazing reward, that by doing that which Allah has commanded, Because Allah Azza wa Jal, by saying لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, that I will forgive you for your sins, Allah is telling us that He knows that we will sin. Allah is aware that we will sin. Alongside the salah and the zakah, we're still sinning, which is the case and situation of all of us. You're praying and you're giving zakah and you're trying to do good, but on the other hand, you're still sinning. You're falling into wrong. You're oppressing. You're doing wrong. Allah Azza wa Jal says that I will wipe out those sins for you. I will forgive you for those sins. Not only that, وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, and I will enter you into gardens graced with flowing streams. That is from the greatest blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu that we've mentioned previously, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, what is the right of Allah upon His slaves and the right of the slaves upon their Lord? Mu'adh said, Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that Allah's right upon His slaves is that they worship Him alone. Don't associate anyone in worship with Him. And the right of the slaves upon their Lord and Creator is that if they do that, they fulfill that pledge and covenant, then Allah won't punish them. Allah will give to them Jannah. That is the covenant that we have made with Allah Azza wa Jal, that we must be people of Iman and people of righteous deeds. People who fulfill the pledge that we took to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And that doesn't just mean in the claim that we won't worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, but it means in the action as well, in the speech as well, that we're people of salah, people of zakah, people who do good and believe in Allah and believe in all of the different articles of faith, from belief in the messengers and the divine revelations and the day of judgment and so on and so forth. And the promise of Allah in return is great. I will give to you forgiveness. I will give to you mercy. I will give to you blessings. And I will give to you the highest of reward, which is the reward of Jannah. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, concluding this verse, فَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, but whosoever ignores this after this, ignores this pledge after this covenant has been made, you turn away, you don't do this, you don't fulfill these conditions, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ, then that person has indeed gone far astray. They have indeed gone far astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in verse number 13 how amongst Bani Israel there were those who broke that pledge and covenant. They took it and they were aware of the conditions and they broke that pledge and covenant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ وَلَا تَزَالُ تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى خَائِنَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاصْفَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, but they broke their pledge. So we placed upon them our curse and hardened their hearts. They distort the meaning of the revealed words and have forgotten some of what they were told to remember. You will always find treachery in all but a few of them. Overlook this and pardon them, for indeed Allah loves those who do good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from amongst the people of Bani Israel then were people who broke that pledge that we just mentioned in the previous verse, verse number 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that as a result of that, a number of things happened. The first of them is that they were cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. And the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal is to be removed from all of His mercy and all of His good subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine therefore that from that promise of Allah that Allah gave to them in the previous verse that they would have forgiveness, they would have reward, they would have mercy, now they're being distanced from all of that. They have been cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only that, but we made their hearts hard. وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. They were hard-hearted. So therefore, when the reminders came, it didn't soften their hearts. When they saw the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, it made little impact. When they heard the words of Allah being recited, they had very little impact upon them because they're breaking the pledge constantly. And because of that, they're becoming further and further distanced from Allah Azza wa Jal. And as a result, then, they have less and less ability to absorb the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His words and revelations. And that is what happens when we sin. Every sin, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, is like a black dot in the heart. And the more that you sin, it continues to increase in blackness until the whole heart just becomes darkened. And that is the example of the person who is constantly in a state of sin. It is difficult for them to break out of that mold. They require a great deal of self-discipline and motivation and hard work and obviously the success of Allah Azza wa Jal in order to be able to then go back and make tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning them, these people of Bani Israel, what did they do? that caused them to break the pledge. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ مَوَاضِعِهِ. They would distort the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. As we've given examples of before, Allah would say, we'll do one thing, and they would twist it, and they would try to find ways around it, and they would try to manipulate that commandment in ways that would fit their desires. وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. And they forgot that which Allah Azza wa Jal told them to remember from the instructions of the Torah. And from amongst them was the fact that they would see a messenger come to them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with revelation. They forgot those parts, or they ignored them, and they turned away from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing these people, that you will always find amongst them, or amongst a number of them, treachery. وَلَا تَزَالُ تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى خَائِنَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. You will always find treachery in all but a few of them. Because that is something which they do. If they're doing it with Allah Azza wa Jal, they're trying to distort His words and His commandments, and this is what they like in terms of their pledge with Allah Azza wa Jal, then what about their pledge with you? If they don't care about the pledge of the Lord and the Creator, what will they care about in terms of the pledge with, that they have with others? إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Because there are from amongst them those who do fulfill their pledge, and so Allah Azza wa Jal makes the exception except for a few amongst them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, commanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَصْفَحْ. Rather overlook this and pardon them. So long as it doesn't harm you, so long as it doesn't do anything detrimental to you, overlook and pardon them. For indeed Allah loves those who do good. And this is a good characteristic and trait to have, that when people are known for their harm, you ignore them to the best of your ability, and you just simply overlook and pardon them. Because to get into debate with them, or to sit with them, or to get into some type of conflict with them, will not really achieve any type of meaningful conclusion or result. It will only make things worse. So therefore ignore them. These are people that you don't simply pay any heed to. And that's something which we should do in our lives. When you have those people amongst the people that we know within our community, that's their characteristic, ignore them. Overlook them and don't really engage with them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla loves those who do good. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.